COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Do We Know Them? Episode 148. Save your comments. I already know I look like Miss Rachel, but this was an outfit I wore to match my daughter, and I'm not ashamed. Okay, and we love Miss Rachel in this house.
Someone told me to tell you, I don't remember if it was in the comments or if they tweeted me, but to tell you that they say, oh, look at this, all the time.
I love that. Not Amelie being a trendsetter.
Right.
I'm not surprised. Guys, girlies, hello, everyone. Today's episode is an interesting one. Like usual, but also what is going on? I feel like the world makes no sense. Just when I think Jojo Siwa leaves my life, she's back. That's already haunting me enough. But then we get notice of these personal shoppers and I'm like, what? Like, how is there a whole universe of personal shoppers on TikTok that I, of all people, was not aware of? That's not okay.
I feel like personal shopper, if I'm understanding correctly, is not the correct term.
No, definitely not. I would say like a Postmates person is like a personal shopper, right? Like if you're going to like a Target or a Publix.
Well, that's like the average, like the normal, the common people's personal shopper.
Oh, period.
But then there's like rich people's personal shoppers that are going and like spending a lot of money.
So
what should we start with?
I'm just gonna say, let's start with Jojo Siwa. Get her out of the way, girl. Stop creeping up into my life, I beg.
I thought that we were done. I did send you a funny, well, actually, I don't know if I would say it's funny. I sent you a video of her that we didn't include in her 21st birthday where she supposedly is, like, she's saying she's wasted.
It's my 21st birthday. I'm drunk as fuck right now. Something about it. My bread I'm supposed to eat. I got punched in the eye. It was really bad, but I'm okay.
Hey.
I'm okay. I'm okay.
It's not the good bread.
You know, I saw a comment about Jojo Siwa that made me chuckle. It was like, Jojo Siwa gives like when a kid finds out that their parents cooked with wine and they're just like, oh shit, I'm fucked up. That's Jojo Siwa.
That is so accurate. Or like if someone like pretends to give you alcohol and then you're like, whoa, I feel wasted. And you're like, actually, that was seltzer. We're not talking about her cringe anymore. Now it's onto the serious reasons. Before it was the less serious reasons we don't like her. It was just like stupid reasons. And now it's for potentially the serious reasons we
don't
like her.
I will say, though, I've always hinted at this and I've always said every time we covered her, I'm like, but there's that lawsuit and there's that one girl that she fucked over allegedly. Like there was always this underneath all of the cringe. That's why I felt not so bad laughing at her. You know, because
honestly,
it'd be pretty mean.
Even last episode, you did bring it up and I forget about it for some reason, which like I shouldn't because it's like kind of a huge deal. But also, I think it's because nothing has really come from it. There was a Rolling Stone article and I want to say it was in February. It was basically allegations against JoJo and her mom for the girl group that they had put together. All this is alleged. Just want to throw it out there. Siwas, don't sue us.
Please, I beg. I don't have anything left in me.
Can barely handle any more Janet, much less JoJo Siwa.
God, I wish I could tell them that we've seen Janet face to face. That would be so slay.
Oh my God. We can.
You think?
Yeah.
How do we say? I'm
scared. Include all of this.
Girlies, you have no idea. I just want, we can't say much because, you know, we're not only going through our federal lawsuit, we're also going through our little whatever it is with the copyright claims board. Through Janet, because she's also suing us through there. I don't know if it's considered suing. I don't even know what it is. We've had to do a couple Zooms with the copyright claims board, and girlies, Janet has been in them. Yeah, we've FaceTimed with Janet essentially for the last like few weeks, and it has literally been the most insane experience of my life.
Yeah, so like one thing about the whole copyright claims board is One, for the record, we've never said that it was a joke. If anyone is watching this that never. Thinks that we said that before.
Yeah, we've never disparaged the Copyright Claims Board. We actually love them. Slay Copyrights Claims Board. We love you.
But so one of the things about them, it's not actual court. Nothing takes place in a courtroom. There's no judges. There's no jury. There's basically no, what's it called? Like, I'm going to sound stupid because it's probably wrong, but it's like ex parte conversations where it's like...
Not the parte. I don't know what that is.
It's definitely not a party. No one can communicate with the board separately, like without the other party present.
Yeah, it's meant for everyone to work together. And I'm like, oh, girlie, I don't think you've met her before. I don't think she's going to want to do that.
I think she'll sue us again if we say too much. But yeah, it's just know that it is one of the wildest experiences.
And when the day comes that this is over, the amount of detail that I'm going to go into is going to be severe. And that's all I need to say about that.
Just a little teaser for what to eventually expect is I actually was reprimanded in this last meeting.
I believe the words of the officer was, Miss Marston, you would benefit from a better poker face. Because I shit you not, Lily was sitting there the entire meeting going, I was like, girl, you gotta keep it together.
Something was said and I was like, huh?
Honestly, it would be amusing if it wasn't, in my opinion, wasting people's time and being this whole thing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if I didn't spend like literally hours. 24 hours drafting up our response, which you guys, I should be a lawyer.
I just couldn't like handle not telling you guys that we have been face to face on video with Janet. Like that has been the most bizarre shit ever. And now you know, and you'll know more one day, allegedly, maybe. I don't know.
Anyway, back to JoJo. Okay, so to recap, so it came out in February of this year and it says, JoJo Siwa promised them pop stardom. They say they were thrown in the trash.
So this was when it all broke about the lawsuit?
Yes, yes. Well, okay. No, so actually there is no lawsuit.
Interesting. Considering I've been referencing it as a lawsuit for months.
No, I double checked. I guess there's no formal lawsuit that's been filed because I was going to like pull the court documents and stuff, but that doesn't exist. They're just allegations. This is not me siding with JoJo by any means, but I want to make it clear again that these are allegations and nothing has been confirmed and that JoJo and her mom have like I'm not going to be able to say that word.
Vehemently.
Thank you.
Not me teaching you words.
Vehemently denied all of these allegations.
Yeah, people deny a lot of stuff.
Exactly. I was going to say, but like they would deny them.
So, I mean, yeah.
Basically, it goes over that JoJo and her mom created this pop group through their reality TV competition show, which I'm like, when was that on?
I know.
Definitely didn't tune into that, but it was called Siwa's Dance Pop Revolution. It was intended to be the next big girl group similar to Kids Bop. I'm like, so did... They sing too?
Kids Bop. Don't they change the kids every bop? Like, I feel like every song they change them.
Well, yeah. But I guess just without the changing of members.
XOMG Pop sounds like a, you probably won't know this reference, but like little kids love those little fucking stupid balls that have a bunch of stupid pointless plastic shit in it. And it pisses me off because they're like
$13.99. Tell me how you really feel.
I'm sorry. Every time I go to Cracker Barrel, I have to buy one and it pisses me off. But fucking literally, it's like a ball. You open it and it's just useless nonsense. And that sounds like it would be called XOMG Pop.
I'm sorry that I'm all over the place. We just said Cracker Barrel. People said that they saw...
I said that. I was telling everybody about this. I was like, I guess Abby Lee Miller works at Cracker Barrel?
I don't even think you were the one that told me. Does she really?
No, no. So I told Alex this. Then Alex was like, I don't believe you. Send it to me right now. I sent it to him. Then he found out that it was like a troll. Like she went to Cracker Barrel. They recognized her. So she played hostess for a little bit.
Hi, welcome to Cracker Barrel.
Hello. Two of us?
Table for two, please.
Okay.
Who's paying tonight?
Me? I thought you had all the money.
There you go.
No?
It's just open seating. Wherever you want.
We got it. Sorry, it's all open.
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's videos that pop up and it's her account saying, finally, I have my dream job. I'm a hostess at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, but it was so funny. And I definitely spread a little bit of misinformation there. My bad. I did say that she worked at Cracker Barrel to at least three friends. So,
also, this was 4 months ago.
I know, it was a while back. Yeah, people were saying that now?
Oh, yeah, no, someone just told me this week.
Oh, no, it's old news, honey.
Okay, got it. Anyway, back to Rolling Stone. Okay, I guess they're designed to be a singing and dancing ensemble. So apparently they do sing.
Oh, it does?
I think so. Yeah, apparently they do still exist and are currently active. It's just without two of the girls. Leah is the one that has, like, gotten the most buzz around this because apparently she has spina bifida and apparently apparently during rehearsals or something, she was bleeding through her belly button, and they like made her keep performing and told her to use a maxi pad.
I think it was specifically the mom, from what I heard, allegedly, was the one that told her, yeah, just like stick a maxi pad on it and get to work early.
Yeah, it says here that apparently the verbal abuse and cutthroat environment were on behalf of Jesselyn.
Jesselyn is her name?
Jesselyn.
It would be her name. No offense, right? Any Jesselyns out there.
And then it's not that JoJo like was the one necessarily delivering the verbal abuse, but it was in an environment fostered by JoJo. Apparently they also lived in like super poor financial conditions and didn't have proper accommodations. Specifically, this article covers the allegations from just one of the girls, and it is the one that had the bleeding, the spina bifida.
Okay.
The other person making the accusations is her mom. So apparently when her mom raised concerns, they kicked Leah out of the group. So there were seven originally, now there's four.
Okay, so three girls have left. Only one is accusing JoJo four and her mom of horrendous shit.
And then a new one came.
Jesus Christ, this group is a mess.
It's confusing. This is not really the point.
Well, it's relevant because, you know, if people have left and they're not speaking about things, it could be for a million reasons. It could be because they're not comfortable speaking. It could be because they didn't go through anything. So it is just interesting to know how many people have left.
But also, I read that apparently Leah was the only one that didn't sign an NDA.
Allegedly.
So they wouldn't have been able to contribute to the...
Okay, got it.
Oh my God. So you probably thought it was a lawsuit because of how many allegations that were made in the article. Verbal abuse and mistreatment, exploitation of the members of the group. The specific allegations are verbal abuse and mistreatment by Jesselyn Siwa, competitive and cutthroat environment fostered by JoJo Siwa, inadequate compensation for work, requirement to produce social media content without direct compensation, inconsistent schooling for group members. Oh yeah, because they're all underage and like supposed to, the, like there's a bunch of child labor laws where it's like if you're acting, you have to have like a teacher on set and stuff. Disregard for health issues in favor of rehearsals and performances, and then concerns about lack of protections for minors and entertainment issues, particularly relevant to reality TV and social media. So I guess JoJo has specifically to this day not said anything like personally. She has not verbalized or put any official statements out. They have denied it through their lawyer, though. So not only did they deny that they had done any of that, but they also say that any abuse came from her mom. So like, for example, if the maxi pad thing is true, it's that like her mom made her keep performing.
Oh, okay. Jeez. I was like, the lawyer's blaming JoJo Siwa's mom? No, she's blaming the girl's mom.
No. On behalf of
JoJo Siwa's mom. Damn, they need to fire him ASAP. Yeah,
yeah. And he refers to Leah's termination as Jess Siwa protecting the staff and the other girls and their families, which she will continue to do vociferously. Vociferously? I've never even seen that word
I know
before.
You're not asking me.
And unapologetically. They did not respond to allegations unrelated to the Sandersons or questions why so many other former members have left. Interesting. So the reason this is all relevant is because a lot of people have said that this cringe rebrand that we have been covering, that the reason for it is to take all the attention away from these allegations. What are your thoughts?
That's giving borderline conspiracy. I don't want to say, but it's giving tinfoil hat. It's giving concerning QAnon family member. I don't know that I believe that.
Well, I only have to question it because the reason to do that would be to save your career. This is
right.
This seems you're not like a saving little anything, counterproductive. Really. Interesting. So apparently, even the other girls in the group sent positive statements about their experience.
The ones that are still presently in it or the ones that left?
The current members.
Yeah. They'll say a lot of things.
Well, and I also wonder like if they sign an NDA or if they were like kind of like bribed to say allegedly. This is all speculation. None of this is factual. Just throwing it out there. But anyway, so no one's really been talking about this a whole lot, but recently JoJo has said some things that have brought it back up. First, there was the Dance Moms reunion. I would play the clip, but we already tried to a couple episodes ago, and I got a notice that we had a copyright thing. Dance Moms claimed us, so we had to take it out. In the clip, JoJo basically says that Abby was right, and if you watch Dance Moms, like Abby Lee Miller, the Cracker Barrel host, she was the one that was like always delivering, like you could say tough love, but like no, it was like she was verbally abusive to these kids,
right,
and just awful. JoJo basically defends her and is like, no, everything Abby said was right. Like if she said I was interrupting someone and I was a beat off, like that's because I interrupted someone and I was a beat off. And it's like, yeah, but you're also a child.
Yeah. I think you were like seven, so.
Yeah. So you're supposed to be a beat off. That makes sense. But so a lot of people were a little concerned with that because it's like, if you're the one that is then helping to form this other like girl group of young kids, then how do we know that you're not treating them how Abby treated you, which like everyone witnessed is being like not okay? Then also, I guess you have to call into like how she has stuck up for Colleen.
Yeah, and how James Charles at her concerts and stuff like that.
Yeah. So it just seems like JoJo in like various aspects of her life has experienced just like not particularly okay behavior and attention from adults, that it's like she doesn't seem to understand why things that aren't okay aren't okay.
I don't know, but at the same time, she has been doing this since she literally was not a baby, but like she was basically a fucking toddler. Like when you see her like 5 years old, 6 years old, getting her hair bleached, her mom, I've said this before, her mom talking about how she's bleached her hair since she was 3 years old. Like my daughter's about to turn three. I would never touch her fucking scalp with bleach. Are you kidding me? Like, talk about literally frying your brain cells. But then also she's just been conditioned and like, I don't like the term groomed because it implies something sexual, but like groomed to believe in Hollywood and like yeah. live, eat and breathe this. Like she really has only ever known it.
Even in what she says on Dance Moms, it's kind of like they prepared me for like what Hollywood is. And it's like, but you don't... No, like it's not supposed to be like that.
That's though. Your mom. I think her mom fought a lot with Abby Lee Miller on Dance Moms. I wasn't an avid Dance Moms like viewer.
Same.
But the reality is they were very much like this in terms of like working together on JoJo yeah. in this scenario. They both had a hand in that. And obviously it seems like that may have carried over.
Yeah.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Yeah, well, and so that's the part that people are bringing up a lot. It's like, well, if she thinks it's okay, then how do we know that she's just not going to like repeat the problem? And then just recently, like I think the Dance Moms reunion was like a month or two ago. But then just today I passed a TikTok of none other than Leah, the one that's making the allegations in this Rolling Stone article, puts out a TikTok that...
I don't think I've ever even seen her.
I hadn't either. I didn't realize it was someone from the actual group until I saw the caption and it says, I'm going to keep talking and share my story. It's honestly just not right. And I was like, oh, scandalous. Who is this? And apparently it's Leah, the one that was bleeding out of her belly button and hadn't told to use a maxi pad to stop it, which
I
is
hate that. That's
so yeah. fucking disturbing. But it's her on a green screen of an article that we'll look at in a sec where it's JoJo doing an interview.
I'm just going to give y'all a second to read this.
Never mind. I guess I'll read it now. I'll read the title now and we'll go into it in detail later. But it's JoJo claims she was taken advantage of as a child star.
It's really funny how you sit here and complain that you were taken advantage of as a child. And then you just turn around and do it to seven other girls. I do not want this to be the only thing on my platform, but I'm going to talk about something that's not right and that needs to be talked about more. I don't know. It just doesn't really make sense to me that you're going to go complain about it from when you were a kid, but then you just turn around and do the same thing. What are y'all's thoughts?
Yeah. So the article that Leah was posting about, apparently the show is called Small Z's Surgery. And apparently she said that she felt like she was taken advantage of as a kid. She received poor business advice and did not thrive professionally as much as she should have. I had shady deals and yes, I got fucked over as a kid and taken advantage of as a kid, but not in a sexual way, it was a business way. And she did not specify where and when she believed that she had been taken advantage of, but she also alluded to stories of child abuse and exploitation that emerged about, oh my God. So she was referencing, I guess, the Quiet On Set documentary and said, I think that to hear children's dark stories, the child stars were groomed or child stars were in some of the worst cases busted. I mean, it's so sickening. But I do have to say that I really appreciate those child stars coming forward because that is stuff I'm lucky that I didn't have to deal with, but it is still going on. So she basically is like, I experienced getting taken advantage of on the business side, but I'm lucky that I didn't experience anything like the Nickelodeon kids did. But then also, we don't know if these allegations are true, but it's like, well, you didn't participate in that kind of abuse, but allegedly she fostered an environment of verbal abuse and psychological abuse.
You know what the sad part is here is that it's not even being alleged that she is the one. Okay, I get it. She fostered it. It's her name. It's her studio. You know, and she's an adult
now. She was like involved. She was. It wasn't like it was just her name. She was like there being a part of it.
No, I get it. And I'm not saying that the allegations are not true at all. I completely believe her. I don't think that people just come out and continuously stand on some shit like this if it isn't true. And if they do that, I think that's fucking wild. But what's really sad is that JoJo did actually get exploited as a kid. Like, I could have told anyone that. And I think I have said that a million times on this channel at this point. She absolutely was fucked over as a kid by many people, but more importantly, by her mom. And to me, that's such a betrayal. Like, how is she supposed to know a healthy work environment when her mom has used her and, like, milked her for every fucking cent she's worth?
Well, and then it sounds like by the allegations, it's saying that her mom was pretty much the one calling the shots. And it's like, well, why would she say anything? Because she's like, oh, that's what she did to me.
She definitely has a very skewed idea, and it shows in the Dance Moms interview when she's like praising Abby Lee Miller and like all that shit. She has a very skewed view of how things are supposed to be in Hollywood. Like, yeah, I know Hollywood is fucked, right? Everyone thinks like nobody in Hollywood can like have a normal life, but that's not true. There are people that do it. There are people that have healthy boundaries. Look at Drew Barrymore. I know the mom-in-law clip made us all very, very uncomfortable, and she is like literally straddling her guests when they're on her show, but that's besides the point. What I'm trying to say is like Drew Barrymore came from shit. Like, she came from such a troubled past, and she struggled with addiction and how many things, like literally being exploited as a child star. But she worked through some really hard shit. And I would say that she came out on the other side a good person, you know, like yeah. Maybe cringy, maybe whatever. But I don't think she's like a bad person who would like abuse someone.
No, and I like Drew Barrymore a lot. I even saw a clip of her even recently talking about how she like wasn't giving her kids phones and like how she was fighting with them about it. I think that that is an example, but also she's someone that like barely came out the other side. Like, she went to rehab multiple times.
Of course.
Because like, the child stardom is what fucked her up so much. And so it's so rare for someone to come out the other side in a healthy capacity.
I believe that 100%. That's why I'm kind of concerned for JoJo, because she's gone the other route, which is like, la-di-da, everything's fine. And it's like, girl, I don't think so. And honestly, I believe both things. I believe she was fucked over in more ways than she would like to admit and acknowledge and work through. And then this girl was obviously fucked over as well. It just sucks. Like, it's just a shitty situation.
It's also interesting for her to be referencing, like, that she had shady deals and she was fucked over business-wise as a kid. I'm like, you weren't negotiating your own stuff. Where was your mom? And I know there's been weird things about, like, she was paying rent for everyone. Disturbing financial things with, like, she had to eventually kick her family out of her house.
Jesus. I honestly, I have no trouble believing that at all. I think that there are laws, especially for child actors or stars or whatever, the Coogan law, that they have to like put away a certain percentage, and maybe they followed that. But I would venture to say that they blew a lot of the money, a la Honey Boo Boo's mom, June. Like, it just, you know, it's that vibe.
Well, there's been an interview, I think she talks about, it all went into an account that she then was able to access when she was 18. So I guess the minimum is 15% into the Coogan account. JoJo Siwa's mom thanked her for never leaving the family high and dry amid success. My mom actually said something to me today that was really sweet. When you were a kid, 15% of every penny goes into a Coogan account to protect the child's earnings. And my parents thought when I turned 18, I was going to get my Coogan account money and take all my money and have it all be mine.
As it should have been, because that's the purpose of the Coogan law.
Because you earned it. The mom like expressed to her multiple times before she ever got the money that like, don't leave us. Like, don't just like get your money and go. And it's like, that alone is a little like, Today when my mom was like, I just want to thank you for basically never kicking us to the curb. Thank you for buying us this new house. Thank you for letting us remodel it. Thank you for keeping us in your bubble. Oh my God.
I'm sorry. That's weird as fuck. Like, my family's super close, and I would just never imagine a world where, one, my family would expect something from me. Like, you're making that, so then I should have this. Mm-hmm. But then also where they would think I would like leave them. Like, that's just a weird thought. Like, it feels like she knows she did something fucked up that JoJo would want to escape or like leave and not include her mom in, and she's just hoping she doesn't work through that and like realize all the bullshit that her family put her through.
Well, it's clear she hasn't. By this, her prompt for telling this story was, my mom said something so sweet to me today. Says that after her mom told her that, she joked, finally, 2 years later, you believe me. What a sweet mother-daughter moment.
Yeah, she has a very skewed perception, but that's why I feel like I understand why this girl is upset, but I do think that both sides are true. Like, I think everybody's hurt, and I think JoJo hasn't even begun to work through her hurt, but she should.
Okay, so alleged, we're going to throw it out there that it might not be her, but it seems like people are pretty sure that it was, that JoJo Siwa's mom went and started commenting on a Reddit thread about all of this slash about, I guess, Colleen. And let's read some of them. It looks like they were talking about her and like how they exploited JoJo. And then she just responds, LOL, to one of them.
Like, people are writing these essays, dissertations on why they believe
she's a gross lady.
Right, literally. And then she's just like, LOL. If that's her, you know, it may not be.
And then someone said, you're such an idiot for someone your age, Jess. Get off Reddit and stop embarrassing yourself. And she says, how is it embarrassing for me to be on Reddit and not for you to be on here trash talking someone you don't even know? I'm sorry, is this Janet? And then the person goes, the little I know about you shows that you suck. Anyone that allowed her minor child to hang out with creepy adults like Colleen and Shane and dyed her hair at the age of 2 can't be a good person. She goes, you know, in today's world, people will believe anything. People can lie, twist the truth, and do whatever to get people canceled. Don't get me wrong. I don't think anyone is perfect and lives a perfect life, but real people stand by their people, family, and friends. You don't know me, Colleen, or Shane, but congratulations on being the best judge of people you ever... Oh my god, this has no punctuation whatsoever.
I was about to say, her comma entries are wild. They are sporadic at best.
On being the best judge of people ever. You win. And I do gotta say,
is she drunk?
I'm like, I do gotta say.
No, this can't be her. I have doubts.
I do gotta say, your name, fake name you hide behind here fits you perfectly. Nice work, bitch. This can't be her.
Jesus. No, that can't be her. It can't. Oh, but apparently she made her own official subreddit. So if she did, then it makes sense that she would be on Reddit. Like, it's not completely random that she would be there, you know?
This is wild. Oh my god, wait, no, but she was on Instagram too, and then it's definitely her because it's her verified account.
Oh no.
Someone says, imagine being recognized for stealing a song, and then she responds to it and says, imagine recording a demo and then being dropped by her label, then 10 years later putting out a demo with zero rights to it.
First of all, that is so rude. I think they're referring to, was it Emmeline? What's her name?
No, it's, what was her? I looked her up.
No, not Brit.
Oh, thank you. Brit Smith.
Yeah, the Karma girl.
Yeah.
I thought she was referring to the other one because JoJo's newest song. Literally all the comments are like, there is no way that's JoJo because it sounds...
The TikTok one?
Good. Yes, the, Choose Your Fighter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that this is in regards to Brit Smith.
Okay, got it. I mean, it's still so rude.
Yeah, but first of all, like, not necessary to share that. And, like, also I've seen interviews with Brit Smith and she doesn't not shit on JoJo at all for using the song. Also, it's not her song. I think people need to also understand that like the way the music industry works, it wasn't like this is like an independent artist that wrote this song and then JoJo stole it. It's that people behind the scenes were shuffling it around and selling it to people and it didn't end up going through and being this girl's single. And 10 years later, it ended up as JoJo's. But yeah, this response, tacky. Okay, so then there's another one of her from Reddit. She's the original poster, so I wonder if it was from her subreddit or something. But she says, hi, no one is exploiting any children. These kids are in the same business as many kids are. Nickelodeon kids, Disney kids. Most celebrities, you know, started working in the industry as kids. Look back on Star Search, Kids Incorporated, Mickey Mouse, and Barney. And then someone responds, but it's gone. And she says, nah, there's no exploiting JoJo. She's always known, say the word, and we will quit. But thanks for worrying about her. Also, if the girls don't departure from the group was anyone's business, I definitely would discuss it, but since it isn't, I won't.
I'm sorry, nah? Does she say nah?
Do I
have boober vernacular? I need to...
I mean, also, the lack of punctuation is insane. One of the other girls said, in response to a question, how do you feel about the info on Rolling Stones? She said, happy for her that she got to tell her story. Also glad Angie cleared up some false information about my mom and I as a result. Oh, and that's interesting also because Jess Siwa on her fucking Reddit said, the girls can talk to anyone they want. XOMG pop is a job. We certainly do not control, worry about, or even discuss who the girls are and are not friends with. XOMG is just like any other job in the world. Nobody tells you who you can and can't be friends with. That's weird. But anyway, I think that pretty much wraps it up. I feel like we've gotten a lot of comments that are like, are you guys going to talk about the girl group thing, about the Rolling Stone thing? And we were too preoccupied and blinded by her cringe, but
right, this felt like my apologies for calling it a lawsuit. I thought it was, I'm sorry.
I'm surprised it's not.
Before we continue, we really quickly want to thank today's sponsor, and that's Scentbird.
And as usual, if you aren't familiar with Scentbird, that means you don't watch and... we're fighting, but we'll tell you anyway. Scentbird is a fragrance subscription service that lets you choose a new designer fragrance to try every month for just $17.
And they have a wide variety to choose from. There's colognes, there's perfumes, there is designer, but there's also indie brands. And it's honestly the best way to try new fragrances because otherwise your option is go to the mall, smell a bunch of things, get dizzy. Doesn't sound like fun to me. And this month I got Victoria's Secret Bare, the Seven Virtues Coconut Sun, Juliet Has a Gun, not a perfume, but it actually is a perfume. I'm pretty sure. And Clinique's Happy Heart, which honestly, I just keep requesting it because I really like it. And I just keep using my trial sizes up.
Oh, I don't think I've smelled that one. Maybe I should get that next.
It's just very fresh, kind of fruity. It's just, especially for the summer. Totally a vibe. I love it.
I like fruity. The ones I got this month are Milk by Commodity, Illuminaire by Vince Camuto, and Extra Milk by Dead Cool.
And honestly, the portions that you get, you're not eating it, but it's, you know, the sizes that you get are a really good size. So it's like a 30-day supply. That's what it says, but honestly, I find they're way more than 30-day supply.
It definitely lasts me more than 30 days. They come in these cute little vials that then have these magnetic cases on the outside. And they're also the perfect size if you need to go traveling and you need your perfume, because they're the approved size, so you can bring them in your carry-on and you don't have to check them, which I think it's pretty convenient.
And if you guys want to try Scentbird for yourself, you can use our code 55DOWENOW for 55% off over at Scentbird. And you can get 55% off your first purchase, which is a little over $7 on your first month, which is amazing.
And that is available in the US and Canada. Sorry for the international places.
But yeah, as always, thank you so much to Scentbird for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast. Let's move on to something that up until 24 hours ago, I did not know existed. And that is personal shoppers on TikTok. Hello? How does something exist on TikTok that I'm not aware of? This pisses me off.
And this feels right up your alley too.
That's what makes me upset. Because normally, like, of course, TikTok's huge. There's a ton of things on TikTok. But this, like this, why was this not on my For You page? TikTok fumbled the bag with that one. Anyway, what's interesting is this is not the first time we've mentioned TJ Maxx on this channel. Is this the third time?
There was the Bethany Frankel one, where she brought the workers there stuff in little
Consuela
baggies. Consuela, I'm sorry. Her good friend.
I was at TJ Maxx and the women were complimenting some of the things I bought. Oh, that's so nice. I want to get that. I wish I could afford it.
Oh,
so I
went back there
with this big bag of probably like...
Don't worry. They'll come reach out to you because the people are going to speak. Okay, Consuela, you're the best. All right, hopefully they'll make an exception. Otherwise, I don't know what she's going to do with that stuff. Maybe she'll drop it off at a shelter, but I really would like it to go to her because she's lovely and they're always looking and complimenting what I get.
And they have a policy where they can't accept it. Luckily, Restoration Hardware doesn't have that policy. And I brought over the same bag that I got back from TJ to Restoration Hardware. But it's been all over the worldwide internet and that, what is it called? White savior? Complex.
So you've never heard that before, really, Mitch? Are you kidding?
Words and terms like narrative and gaslighting just to act like they're really smart. So I may have white savior complex because I brought perfectly good, unused but opened makeup to people that I don't think would be able to buy this level of makeup on their own. So I guess I'm being canceled.
She brought Consuela makeup, used makeup, in a Ziploc bag. So that was fun. Then we had our good friend Adrielle, who got kicked out of TJ Maxx. Here is this video where she gets told that she cannot work or she cannot film in a TJ Maxx. Well, I guess she does get told she can't work in a TJ Maxx because it's her profession, remember? So she's with her two children here. She does have a third younger one. As far as I'm aware, I think there's only three.
Who wants to use the credit card today? Okay, so that means you go ahead. That means you get dibs next time. Full, it's a Sunday. It's beautiful outside though, that's probably why.
Just put everything on the shelf. We got some cool stuff. A speaker, some makeup stuff.
Can I get here because we don't feel comfortable with it being recorded in here.
I can't record in here?
No.
I'm not recording you.
I know, but just for like the safety, just in case like my voice isn't.
I do TJ Maxx hauls.
Oh, I know, but can I just in case, like, they can hear my voice, people's voices.
Yeah. We're not gonna buy anything.
Okay.
And I'm gonna post this to social media.
Oh God.
All right. Oh my God. Doing a TJ Maxx haul. That's insane. That's absolutely insane. This, I swear to God, only in this town, I'm doing a TJ Maxx haul. Wow. I can't even do a TJ Maxx haul with my kids without people in this small town. Like, that's terrible. This is advertising. Wow. Hey guys, we'll just order some stuff on my TikTok shop and Amazon. Sorry, babe. How do you guys feel about that?
I kind of like this people.
Should I go back and get her name and complain to the district manager? That was not a good way to treat a customer.
For ironically, actually, this is kind of relevant here because TJ Maxx kicked her out for filming. And I guess the personal shoppers here have run into some issues filming in stores as well.
So you might be thinking, personal shopper? What do you mean? Like maybe they're local in your town and then they go and they shop for you? Of course not. That's absolutely not what we mean. Essentially, these people have found that if they go live on TikTok and then they kind of just show random objects around a TJ Maxx or even a Dollar Tree, That has happened at Dollar Trees as well. They will show an item and then they will basically try to get the people that are on that live to purchase that item. But not just purchase that item, they will have them send the money plus a shopper's fee plus a shipping fee.
Okay, wait, I didn't know that was the extent of it. I need to re-get my bearings around this. So I thought that they were buying stuff and then going live and selling it. It's that they are going live in the store and being like, you like this?
Literally, yes.
So also, the reason I feel like that would be particularly successful, which, like, I mean, it shouldn't be in general, but yeah, it says TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Ross, and HomeGoods are the go-to. It's because all of those stores don't have consistent inventory across all of their stores.
Every time I, like, do a haul after going to TJ Maxx, I, like, dump everything out of my kitchen counter. It's like a fever dream. I'm like, what the fuck happened in that place? Like, I have, like, seven hand soaps, yoga pants.
I mean, I just know, because HomeGoods in particular, like, they have really good stuff, but it's not like you can go online and they have the same stuff that you can buy at every one. It's like random per store. So it's like my mom always says that the one near like where I grew up, that one's a really good one, but like the one near us now, not so good.
And they usually restock. I think HomeGoods restocks every day.
Yeah. So it's like very quick turnaround and like you get it or it's gone. So I do see how there might be some value people would place on that if like one, it is nice they don't have to go, but how much are they charging for the extra fees?
Okay. So the personal shoppers require you to Venmo them, or I suppose some of them may be more lenient, do a Cash App, I don't know.
Like they pay in advance before they receive it? Oh, yeah, just they won't check out your item unless you paid.
They won't check it out, but you have to like claim it. And then once you claim it, like let's say you're in the chat, right? There's like 100 people there. They show you a bag.
By claimed, you just go me.
Yeah, you say me, but you have to also be the first person to send that payment.
So what if multiple people send it? Does she refund?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I guess it depends on like how high the demand, like if it's like a fucking auction where it's like,
yeah, I also don't think we're dealing with that.
Yeah. Once, or if it's like one person is interested, then.
You know what it may be? Maybe they claim it. Again, I've never come across these because they haven't been fucking fed to my TikTok. But basically like, I think if you claim it, maybe she like says, okay, Jessica, you can claim it. Send me
and
the
they
fee.
Have like a 5-minute window before exactly. It expires.
She just walks around TJ Maxx.
Okay.
But anyway, so the personal shoppers require you to Venmo them a shopper's fee, which can range anywhere from $5 to $20, okay? So not only is this fee almost exclusively per store, but it's also per shopping trip. From what I understand, they also change it depending on like what store they're in or what mood they're in. They feel the wind. They're like, today's $7. But they'll also charge a fee of $1 to $5 per each additional item. So if someone wants like a whole haul of something... They're like, now you're getting too much shit, bitch.
So if
sit
you
down.
Were in Home Goods and you wanted to buy three things, you pay the initial $5 to $20, but then they're also like, eh, we are, if you want this too, it's an extra $2.
That's correct. Mind you, the whole while they're illegally filming in the store. That has to be the biggest thing that everyone notes here.
I don't think it's technically illegal to be filming. I think it just depends on the store and what their individual store policies are. It's funny because when Adrielle got kicked out of TJ Maxx, like she was so upset that she couldn't be filming because she was filming a haul.
Yeah.
But like we were commenting, like it wasn't a good filming job. You didn't really see what she was getting. It was just kind of this like lazy ass vlog that she definitely didn't need that portion. Like she could have easily gone home and just filmed a haul with all the stuff she bought. This I can understand why it might be a little more required.
Listen, I don't want to out my mom like this, but she was low-key defending them to me when I was talking to her about this earlier. She was like, okay, but they're kind of girl bustling it right now. Like if they want to make a business off of selling you whatever, you're buying it, right? And I'm like, yes, in theory. And I think that that's the consensus. There's half people who are like, who cares? Like, get your money, girl. And then half people who are like, this is somewhat of a scam. Like, it's not a scam because they're getting the items. And I've heard the sentiment. My mom also said this to me. They're like, okay, let's say someone sees a cup that's like super popular on TikTok and they see it at their Home Goods or their TJ Maxx and you don't have it at yours. You want to buy it from them. I'm like, I get that scenario, but I don't feel like that's their main thing. Like, I don't feel like their main thing is shopping to people who really want something and can't find it and just so happen to come across a live where someone's shopping that thing. I think what their main audience is and their main like moneymaker is people, and I've always said this, it's like this like live spell, right? You go live and then people just want to be included in that live. It's why Jason Nash gets gifts every day, people. I mean, what are we talking about here? Like, people actively, willingly send Jason Nash gifts. Well, at least here you get something
out of it.
I think that people, if they see something, and I've had live regret before. I've bought things I'm not proud of on lives, and I won't say what it was.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
But I wanted to kind of just like be a part of it. I just wanted to vibe. I just wanted to, I don't know. Hey guys, you guys are buying shit. I want to buy shit too.
I feel like you're kind of missing a market for lazy people that don't want to go, like going into Home Goods and searching through Home Goods.
I've thought about that. But the problem with that is that they do not take requests. You can't tell them, hey, look at purses. Go and look over there. Oh, I see something to the left there. Can you check that out? No, you can't, bitch. Like, I will show you what I'm selling, but I'm also not selling it because TJ Maxx is selling it.
But again, the stores don't always have the same inventory. So it's like, you wouldn't have something in mind that like, I need that one thing that they have, unless it was like something that went viral, I guess. But I feel like you would go hoping that they choose something you want and then you buy. Like, no one's making them buy it.
Like, for instance, I saw this one girl. I think we have the link here where it's basically like four purses. You know, when you walk into TJ Maxx, the first thing you see are the fucking purses. It's just a bunch of purses. Like, you know, it's purses that look like purses. And she was like, amazing haul today, guys. Look what I've got. And it's like, what do you mean? It's just a bunch of purses in the front of TJ Maxx.
Like, well, that's what I said. I'm like, so it's lazy people that don't actually want to go to TJ Maxx.
Okay, yes, I guess. But then also, it may be lazy people, right? Because, like, I get Postmates all the time. Like, I'm not saying I love to go out of my house.
It kind of is like Postmates, honestly.
But it's not, because Postmates, you're ordering exactly what you want. There, you're just kind of like,
but
yeah,
you
I guess
can
I'll
just
take that.
Not buy it if you don't want it.
But it's the live spell. I'm telling you, it's the live spell. It's why this is a profitable business.
I don't think that wouldn't necessarily create an environment where people are definitely doing some impulsive spending.
I mean, they know what they're doing. It's not like they're not transparent about what you're paying, the fees, all that shit. I get it. Like, if people... Not you supporting the personal shoppers.
For example, like, you know how there are places that, like, do maximum amounts you could purchase? I think my mind immediately goes back to... Were you a Beanie Baby girl?
No, I wasn't.
Where maybe you were a little too young.
No, my cousin had a bunch of Beanie Baby stuff.
But I think, like, that during, like, the peak of Beanie Baby, like, the phenomenon was, like, when, like, the Princess Di Bear came out, which would have been, like, 97 or something. So you were, like, 4, right?
Yeah.
Beanie Babies in particular, I think of, because me and one of my friends were very into Beanie Babies. That was when my family had a little more money. And my mom and her mom would take us to places. They'd like call ahead and find out that Beanie Babies were in stock. Like, I shit you not, lines down the street. Beanie Babies were so insane. And we always were like, they're going to be worth something someday. And I do believe some of them actually are worth a lot now, but like very specific ones that not most people have. My mom sold all of ours at a garage sale for $20. I told her I'm still upset about it, but yeah, mom, if you're watching, still on my shit list. But anyway, they would have like maximums that you could only buy a certain amount, because otherwise people would go buy up all the stock and then resell them for higher. It'd be like ticket scalpers, like they're reselling it for higher prices.
Me trying to find the tie-in here, because how does that match a bunch of tacky, what is it, Juicy Couture bags in the front? Like, I'm just confused.
My point was going to be that even with ticket scalpers, I don't think, like, is that illegal? Like, buying up the inventory of something so then you can sell it all for higher and jack up the prices?
I don't think so. No, I don't think it is.
So if that's not illegal, then this is far from illegal.
Girl, they haven't bought it. this is unbought inventory. That's like the biggest element of it all. Like they're walking around
but
a store.
But then they buy it.
They're basically like QVCing merchandise they do not own and being like, buy it and pay me more and I get it for you. Like it's just a little off. Like it's not illegal necessarily.
It's like a premature selling it on eBay.
Premature. Yeah, because they don't own it.
But it's not like they're going to steal it. I honestly, like, I think it's weird, but I don't really see the problem.
I mean, to me, the legality of it is basically the filming. They can't film in there, obviously. And especially not to QVC unbought fucking merchandise. Like, get out of here, lady.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't, it depends on the store on whether, like,
bro,
if
you walked into that in a Home Goods or a TJ Maxx and someone was just like, all right, girlies, who's going to snatch this up? And you're like, bitch, I want that. Can you put it down?
But also, devil's advocate. Like, yes, Postmates is picking. I get that they're, the selection of the products.
And you buy it by the time the shopper goes to get your shit. Like, it's already bought. It's paid for.
That's not how it used to be.
What? When did you pay for it? Yeah, it always was. When you check out, you pay.
No, it used to be like you pay Postmates and then Postmates pays the place. Like, I don't know how it worked with the drivers and stuff, but it didn't used to be that all places like had a direct line with Postmates. They used to just go anywhere.
The way I look at it too is like even Target, for instance, I could Postmates Target to my house, right? I am paying Postmates and this person is walking into Target with a Postmates credit card that's preloaded with my money. It's not like Target already has the money, but they have to grab the stuff that I like, and then they slide the, you know, the Postmates card, their credit card that they use with Postmates.
Oh yeah, so that's what I was saying, because a lot of food places now have a direct thing that Postmates probably is direct, like you are paying the place directly and Postmates just picks it up.
My thing is, that's a private shopper, that's someone that's walking in, almost as if they were anyone else, nobody would know the difference. This is a person that, again, that's QVCing in the aisles of TJ Maxx.
It's a private shopper, not a personal shopper.
It's just completely weird, I don't know. But anyway, so another aspect of this is that some of them have their, like, lives to subscribers only, like the chat. So you have to subscribe to be able to claim anything, girly pop, which is going to cost you a cool at least $2.99 minimum a month, but upwards of, I think the max is like $5.99 they could do. So you would have to subscribe to be able to chat.
On TikTok?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to subscribe on TikTok, you have to pay.
There's subscriptions on TikTok?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. On live streams, yeah.
I had absolutely no idea that was a thing.
Yeah, so that's a little bit more on the unethical side, where it's just like, okay, now people, if they want to claim it, they have to subscribe to you, fuck off. And you have to pay monthly. It's a recurring fee.
But if you're willing to, if you find value in it, then I don't know. If they're allowed to film in the store, that's the only thing that's like questionable still. But if they're allowed to film in the store, if they're being transparent about what they're charging these people, it's a little shady. But when it comes down to it, it isn't really that much different than like scrolling eBay and seeing what's on there and then just up pricing a little bit. But honestly, Postmates probably cost more than this.
It's like if your mom was FaceTiming you from TJ Maxx, but you couldn't tell her exactly what you wanted. She just started choosing shit for you. And if you did want it, then you had to pay her like $20 extra. But what I will say, another shady aspect of this is the shipping. So like a lot of these people are not going to be in the same state or city as these shoppers, right? Because they're doing, so it's going to be like a national
thing.
Which
could be why some people are into it, because maybe they don't, I mean, I don't really know who doesn't have TJ Maxx and stuff near them, but
yeah, if someone
maybe
didn't,
they can't go to those places.
But in order to give them their address, these shoppers are requesting that they put it like in the notes section of their payment, or some of them have their own website submissions. I would assume like maybe like a Google form or something like that, where these people can just send their addresses. So there is the concern of just putting your address out there in a way that, yeah, I guess it wouldn't be public, but it could be one day. Who knows? Like, it's just like, kind of sloppy.
See, that for sure. But honestly, I would be more concerned that I'm sending money to a person that has no guarantee that they're actually going to send me anything back.
These are random people that are going on live. You are Venmoing and Cash Apping people that if this turns out that you don't get your shit, that's not protected. Nobody's going to give you that money back.
Well, no. And that's what I had just said. Like, I would be far less concerned about my address than I would about the person, you know, like taking my money and not ever sending me the stuff.
Right. And some people have said that the shoppers will get like really aggravated if like someone wants them to go back to a certain section, or like if they want them to go into a different aisle. It's like, bitch,
how dare they?
Why are you here then? And another thing that people are pointing out is that these shoppers are literally leaving with carts full of shit, like during the pandemic and everyone took all the toilet paper, and it's like, why are you doing this? It's like, hey, you're taking the inventory from Like if you're literally leaving with every cup that went viral on TikTok or every pillow that went viral on TikTok, nobody's gonna be able to get in your town. That's kind of annoying.
That's exactly why I brought up the Beanie Baby example.
Yes, exactly. So these people are, even if not illegal, if you want to put everything aside, just a little annoying. Like it's like, don't come to my TJ Maxx, girly. I better not see you around my parks. I go to TJ Maxx and if I'm walking around and I want to get something, I'm like, oh my God, that's the thing that went viral on TikTok. And there's this girl in front of me on her phone and leaves with all of them. I'd be like, okay.
How dare you say that my Beanie Baby example and ticket example wasn't relevant? That's exactly why I was bringing it up.
But my question with that was like, you were saying it, that this would be a bad thing because they would get a bunch of shit. I didn't understand, I guess.
That you can't, to buy up an inventory so then other people can't buy it. And then it's like, they would have to put maximums on it because otherwise people go in and buy 50 Beanie Babies and then sell them on eBay for more
money.
Right,
right, right. Yeah, I get it. Apologies for
which, I mean, that. She's not selling them like a crazy amount more, but.
Well, I don't know because this example is that with shoppers' fees and shipping, one $16.99 item can cost a person over $60 to receive it. If that's true. Lock them up.
See, that, I have to say that, like, that, that is kind of like, get your bag, sis, because who's agreeing to that? If they know up front that it's going to cost that much, go to your own fucking TJ Maxx.
No, but remember, shipping is not possibly something because they don't have a sophisticated system or something they're putting it in right then that they can tell someone this is your shipping. They have their shopper's fee that they can be upfront about. They don't know how much shipping's going to be. What if they get a bunch of shit and then all of a sudden they already paid the shopper's fee, they already paid the money for the item, and then they're like, oh yeah, it's $30 to ship it. Sorry, girly pop.
And when you consider something like home goods where it's like potential like furniture and stuff, I mean, I don't know if that's any of the items that they're picking out, but like, it's not all small things that would fit in a small box. So shipping could get expensive very quickly.
Yeah. And another interesting point is that, you know, there's things like Poshmark, Mercari, what's the other one? Depop, things like that, where you sell things secondhand. Yeah. I've sold things on Poshmark a bunch, but those systems have reviews. Like you can't review one of these people. Mm. You could go on Reddit and bitch about them, but if one of these people fuck you over.
Yeah, and on the page, they would just like, if anyone's leaving bad comments or something, they just block them because you have to be subscribed.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I'm really laughing. It's not funny, but their names are like Tiffany Shops, Mel Shops. I'm sorry, that's just funny.
40,000 followers.
So these are the rules for shopping. Number one, claim an item on my live by saying claim and a description of the item you're claiming. Number two is pay retail plus 6% tax plus 12 FF. What is FF?
Finder's fee.
Oh. First item is 12 FF. Every item after FF is $2. Okay, period. Discount. Send me a PM with a description of the item you claimed and your shipping address. It's like,
I'm the one that bought the sweater in aisle 3. Here's my address.
Pay shipping fee when you receive it by me. Oh, she allows you to pay it when you receive it. That's kind of slay.
Well, I guess, but you've already paid a pretty hefty amount, I think.
Oh my God, look at this. She pinned an entire TikTok that says leave a review in the comments and has this as her little review section.
Oh, well, yeah, but she's probably deleting the bad ones. Well, wait, also though, back to the terminology on that. It's pay retail plus 6% tax. No, they're not referring to... What do you mean tax?
Wait, like on top of tax?
I don't think they're referring to the actual tax of the item.
Dude, this haul that she's showing is a fever dream. Like,
it's literally it looks like a garage sale.
It looks like TJ Maxx took a fat dump on that table. It really does. And honestly, that's my cart every time I leave TJ Maxx. Look at all those purses. She took the entire purse section. Look at how she says this is like one day, I think, that she did all this.
The selection is obviously she had to pick the stuff to show them, but like if people wanted it, I think these people are paying for the act of buying it so they don't have to. But then also, I guess if the person has good taste, then it's like they're picking out things you might like. I don't know. It seems like a kind of eclectic haul though.
This is someone on Reddit that's claiming, not the TJ Maxx subreddit. There's a subreddit for everything. And in this post, they're basically saying that they heard about this and they were like, oh my God, that would be so crazy, essentially, if I saw one of these people in person. And they said, and today I rang up a duo with two carts just full of merchandise. And yes, there was plenty of Hello Kitty items. What is it with these Hello Kitty stuff? One of them kept holding up their phone while speaking and the other placed items on the counter. Mind you, I was trying my best to bag everything that was placed on my counter, but the customer on the phone goes, okay, this will be blank amount. Please PayPal me. And even, guys, how much do you think the total is? They kept holding their phone up towards the transaction display and nearly in front of me, and so I felt uncomfortable. I tried hiding my name tag, and I even couldn't bring myself to pitch the TJ Maxx card because of how uneasy I felt. So yeah, I hope my identity or name tag isn't out there. I'm feeling anxious about being in their live stream.
See, I think that's the... The rest of it, again, it's weird. I wouldn't ever buy it and I wouldn't ever do it. I think it's an interesting choice. But if people are benefiting from it or they think they're benefiting from it, then live your dreams. I do think the problem is if they're filming when they're not supposed to be, right, or when they're making people uncomfortable.
Yeah, for sure. This is an example of one of the lives.
Oh.
I'm in Ohio. When you make your payment, you come back to confirm. I'll check to make sure it's been received. Not today, Judy. I'll do it tomorrow. I don't have enough time today because they're closing. They're about to close in like 10 minutes.
Oh my God, not personal shopping. 10 minutes to close.
So you'll come back, confirm payment. And then the Linktree link in my bio has a live order form that you will complete. That way, I'll know where I'm shipping your merch.
Not the merch.
And then in 5 to 7 business
days, you
will receive your shipping quote. And I ask that you, once you receive your shipping quote, that you pay it within 3 days. Okay, babe. So we're not that far apart. 49799. Hey, Brandy. So this bag regularly is $49,799.
Okay, what is that store?
This, like, feels very disorganized.
Is she in a what is the name brand?
I think someone said it was a Coach outlet.
You can't do this in a Coach store. What the fuck?
You might notice she is speaking a little bit under her breath.
Well, I mean, it's 10 minutes to fucking close. I'm flabbergasted. This is so wild. Like, again, is it illegal? I don't know. I have questions, but
I definitely don't think it's illegal. Yeah.
Well, to film, I'm telling you.
Aside from, like, people not wanting to be filmed, obviously, in the store, like, would the stores really care?
Other than making employees uncomfortable, customers uncomfortable.
That's the only concern.
Potentially violating actual rules of the store, much like we know TJ Maxx doesn't allow you to film because we looked at the rules for an episode. Like, other than all of that, it's just a little bit strange. I am all for girl boss, gatekeep, gaslight, but it's just a little strange. Like, I just find it, like, this is, I can't believe people like this. It's interesting. Sorry, maybe I'm just a hater. Maybe I'm just a fucking hater. Sorry.
I can't believe people do it, but I don't think there's something, like, ethically wrong with it per se.
I don't know. That's where we agree to disagree.
In the sense that you're paying them, like, the shopper's fee, it's no different than the, like, shit ton, like, Postmates. I haven't used it in a long time, but in LA, to get McDonald's, which would be, like, a $5 meal, it would literally end up costing me $20. So it doesn't feel like they're jacking up the prices anymore. Why does it matter that, like, as long as they give it to you?
No, totally. And Postmates does actually raise the item fee. Like, every single item costs, like, $2 or $3 on Postmates.
Sketchy too, yeah. And then there's also, like, sales fees or, like, yeah, driver fee or gas fee.
They're charging you because they're the ones at the store. I get it. Like, they're the ones actually walking around, cashing out. I understand that.
Yeah, it was like, so they are offering a service. I just don't really know why the service is too appealing, because you just go. But, like, right, if you think so, sure.
I don't know. I'm interested to see what people say below, because I'm just confused about this one. I can't even lie.
See, I would be much more curious if there's, like, horror stories about, like, actual scammers that are, like, doing it and pretending that they're going to send it and they never do, or they send, like, yeah, damaged stuff or, like, something sketchy.
But anyway, that's it. That's the personal shopper thing on TikTok. And yeah, I guess we could jump to our We Love the Internet.
Sorry, this episode's been a little disjointed. We're filming kind of late. I mean, you got a really long episode last week, so hopefully that will make up for it.
Okay, I'm going to send you this one. It's a little long, so we'll just cut it short, but I did find this funny.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I just don't know how I would react if it happened to me.
Okay, so the caption on screen is, I woke up my wife in the middle of the night and made her think that we were playing Uno. I feel like I've never seen this while someone's actually in bed asleep. It's usually when people are like passed out, like they fell asleep on the couch or something, and then everyone sits around them and pretends.
She's literally snoring like she was out for the night.
Oh my God. Also question, like, do they play Uno a lot?
I know. I literally thought the same thing. I'm like, I don't even own Uno cards. I would be so confused.
Yeah, I was like, because I would be really caught up. This would be too weird for me.
The way they stay in her hand is ridiculous. I can't.
Really strong sleep grip.
Boo. Boo. It's your turn. Your turn. Draw four.
Not the draw. You wake up, you're already losing.
Draw four, boo. It's your turn. How are you going to turn over and fall asleep in the middle of the game? Boo?
Not the gaslighting. Oh, my God.
It's your time.
She's so boo. Pissed. But if you skip forward a little bit, she does start playing Uno.
Does she, like, believe him?
Yeah. She just starts focusing and then being like, all right, I guess. Like,
babe.
What? Stop sleeping.
Why are you just sitting there? Stop being draw four.
I feel so bad.
Four. You gotta pick up four cards.
I'm seeing if I have one.
Blue. Back asleep.
Blue.
No, I... Oh, you changed the color again. Okay, hold on. Like, how you? Not only did you fall asleep, you turned over and everything.
And got into bed. Who plays Uno in bed?
Just give me the card, babe. Go to sleep.
The gaslighting. Oh my God.
Wait, yeah. I'm like, I don't appreciate that. He didn't, like, you're supposed to say it's a joke.
Yeah. You don't gaslight them at the end.
Yeah, no, I can't believe she played along with it as much as she did. They must be an avid Uno family. But also, at least the idea that, like, if, because the ones I've seen, it's like four or five people and, like, someone fell asleep on the couch when they were just, not doing anything. And then it's like, there's five people. You maybe fell asleep during a few turns. There's just two of them. Why don't you have the time to fall asleep?
I do go into a pretty deep sleep where people used to love to prank me when I was little because I was just funny to prank because I would wake up so confused and just kind of go with whatever.
And probably cry.
Yeah, probably cry. I actually, yeah, no, true. I did. But I feel like some people would be better to do this too than others. Like, I'm trying to think of what I could do to my husband, but literally nothing. Like, he doesn't even play Xbox, so I can't even, like, put the controller in his hand and be like, what the fuck? You fell asleep.
I just don't have an activity that I would, like, be doing in bed that, like, yeah, would make sense for someone to be like, same, you fell asleep during this, and be like, what are you no, I didn't. And then I certainly wouldn't get up and keep playing. I'd be like, fuck off, and throw the cards on the ground.
I know, she was very nice about it. Anyway.
Oh my God, that was funny. He better have told her it was a prank.
I know, yeah.
Okay, this isn't, like, hilarious. No offense, love this girl, but it reminded me of you because it, you'll see.
Yeah, I've always thought there was, like, something wrong with me. Like, this is something I'm embarrassed about, I'm not kidding. I just saw a clip of Brooke Schofield and it, like, very much so validated me. Which, Brooke, I'm sorry for bringing this up. Due to what you were referencing in the clip, I'm sorry. But been there, girl. We're trauma sisters. She's basically saying that whenever she's around somebody that has an accent, she, like, unintentionally mimics that accent. I literally thought I was alone in this. I can't. I was at a bar a few weeks ago in New York with my best friend, the Spaniard, West Village, if anybody cares. Me and my best friend were both drunk. We're talking to this guy. He's from New Zealand. At some point in the conversation, my best friend leans over and she's like, hey, I don't know if you know that you're doing this, but you fully have a fucking accent right now.
Oh God, just, like, let her vibe.
What you mean, girl? Like, what? Like, so when you're talking to him, you are speaking in a New Zealand accent. I don't know if you're aware of that, but you are fully mimicking him. Like a Kiwi vibe you've got going on. I'm, like, in denial. I'm like, probably not, nar. Another example, my best friend's dad is from New York, Long Island specifically, and he'll be, like, telling me a story about his childhood. I don't know what comes over me. I'm fully, like, oh, like, when you were growing up on Long Island, like, something sinister happens to me. Like, I start talking with more attitude. I'm talking like I'm from Long Island. Like, it's crazy because everybody I've ever met is always like, people from out of state are always like, you have such a strong Chicago accent. Not when I meet somebody with a new accent. This is an ongoing thing. Like, I used to date somebody who lived in London. Don't. And anytime I would go to London for like a 2-year span and I would come back from London, all my friends would be like, you need to, like, reconnect with your roots. I would switch from American to a fully British woman. Do y'all want to get coffee or do you even reckon they'll be open? My friends would be like, I don't, do we reckon? No. We don't tend to reckon things. Not in these parts. Not in this country. Like, what do you mean? And God forbid you let me around a Southern person for one second.
Oh, yeah, that's the hardest one.
This one was you.
I just start loving my Lord and Savior. Who wants to go hunting?
Amen.
Oh, my God. By that, because didn't you say that specifically when you visit Jen that you always...
Yeah. Yeah, but then also more recently in my life, I talk to Alex like every day, and Alex has like a very Southern accent. The thing that saves me is that we will use other voices, you know, like we'll just be like, like, you know, the Trisha Paytas, we do that constantly. It's very annoying. What else do we do? We do many things that save us, because if he just talked to me just pure Southern, oh, giddy up, cowgirl. I'm going to be talking like that for
I mean,
weeks.
This isn't an accent, but look what happened with fucking girlies.
You see? Yeah. I'm a chameleon. I'm not proud of it. It's just who I am. I'm also very, not theatrical, but I'm very animated in the way that, like, I love different accents and the way people talk. And if I find it funny, I'm like, putting that in my freaking back pocket. And I'm going to use that with someone else. So, yeah, I think that's part of it. If I find someone's, like, accent intriguing, it goes in the same pocket. I'm like, get out of there. I don't want to copy your accent. It's just... It's a vibe, you know?
It just happens.
But anyway, okay, period. We will leave it at that. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode.
It was a huge mess, but if you're here, we thank you. We appreciate you.
We definitely do. But anyway, yeah, as always, guys, we hope you had a wonderful weekend, and we will see you on Friday. Bye.
Cheers.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.